This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. Today we commence again with a poem of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, in which he speaks about qada, qadr and destiny. He says, إِنَّ الطَّبِيبَ بِطِبِّهِ وَدَوَائِهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ قَضَاءَ مَقْدُورِ. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, إِنَّ الطَّبِيبَ بِطِبِّهِ وَدَوَائِهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ. Verily a doctor with his medication, with his knowledge, with his sciences, is unable to avert and divert the plan and the destiny that Allah has decreed for an individual. Then he further says, and so amazing, مَا لِلطَّبِيبِ يَمُوتُ بِالدَّاءِ الَّذِي يُبْرِئُ مِثْلَهُ فِيمَا مَضَى. مَا لِلطَّبِيبِ يَمُوتُ بِالدَّاءِ الَّذِي قَدْ كَانَ يُبْرِئُ مِثْلَهُ فِيمَا مَضَى. How strange that when Allah has decreed the death of a person, then you find a doctor succumbs to the same malady for which he has been treating patients for years. Subhanallah. What does the poet say? مَا لِلطَّبِيبِ يَمُوتُ بِالدَّاءِ الَّذِي قَدْ كَانَ يُبْرِئُ مِثْلَهُ فِيمَا مَضَى. That when Allah has decreed death, then a doctor succumbs to the very same medical condition to which he's been an expert on. He's an expert on cancer. He's an expert on this year. He has this speciality or this super speciality. And with the grace of Allah, he has rescued the lives of tens of hundreds of people. But when Allah decrees his death, he succumbs to the very malady and illness for which he's a specialist. And furthermore, he goes on in the poem and he says, هَلَكَ الْمُدَاوِي وَالْمُدَاوَى هَلَكَ الْمُدَاوِي وَالْمُدَاوَى وَالَّذِي جَلَبَ الدَّوَاءَ وَبَاعَهُ وَمَنِ اشْتَرَى. That when Allah decrees death, then you find the doctor, the patient, the manufacturer of the medication, and the pharmacist all happen to pass away because of the same malady. The person who was treating it, the person who invented the medication, the person who came out with the necessary vaccine, the person who had the sole rights of selling that particular medication, the person who was involved his whole life was having that very same vaccine. But when Allah had decreed death, then they all succumb and surrender. That is why we say this year, and there's a big difference between the two. We don't say that COVID-19 brings death. We say death brings COVID-19. We don't say that death brings cancer. Cancer brings death. So when Allah has decreed you, there's a big difference between the two. One is you're saying, you know what, I'm staying with my parents. And one is the person saying, my parents are staying with me. It might outwardly look the same that you share in one roof, but the respect displayed by someone that's saying that, you know what, I'm living with mom. So I'm married, I have my kids, but I'm living with mom. In other words, I'm in mom's place, right? So that's our belief, that corona does not bring death. Death brings the corona. When Allah has decreed and ordained death, then these will be different circumstances that will prevail in the life of a person. هَلَكَ الْمُدَاوِي وَالْمُدَاوَى وَالَّذِي جَلَبَ الدَّوَاءَ وَبَاعَهُ وَمَنْ اشْتَرَى. When it is qadr and destiny, then the doctor, the patient, the manufacturer, the pharmacist all die while their hands are actively involved in that very same particular vaccine. So this is years ago, I remember reading an article in a particular place where there are a lot of quakes that were taking place. And so there was a meeting of head of states that what measures could we put to reduce the impact of earthquakes. And while the meeting was in process, an earthquake took place. Right? So we're not averse to the need of taking measures and precautions, etc. But I think in this particular program, we are here to give hope to people in the mercy of the Almighty, and also to align our yaqeen and our trust and our confidence in the Almighty. Just to continue, we speak about some quotations and then we speak about an amazing narration as well about sabr. So Hassan Basri rahimahullah used to say that as-sabru kanzun min kunuzil khair, that from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the greatest of treasures is a person who's blessed with sabr, patience and endurance. In fact, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who was a great man, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, we know about him and there's so many amazing things about him. He used to say, ma an'ama Allahu ala 'abdin ma an'ama Allahu ala 'abdin min ni'mah. Whenever Allah favors any person with a bounty and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches that bounty away and Allah replaces that bounty with sabr and patience, then what Allah gave him is greater than what Allah took from him. Yesterday I was touching on an ayah and then we digressed and I have a flash of that ayah again, a verse of the 22nd juz in which Allah says, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ, that whatever you give, Allah will substitute it. In Ma'riful Quran, under this ayah, it is mentioned that Allah has given the promise of a substitute and Allah has not given the promise of a monetary substitute. So we generally like, I gave my $1, I need my 10. Or I gave my 1 rand, I need my 10, right? That's the normal mathematics we do. But that's not the promise of the Quran. The promise of the Quran is replacement, substitute. So whether Allah replaces it in monetary or otherwise, that's the choice of Allah. But the promise of Allah is He will grant you a replacement. And furthermore, it is written that at times Allah replaces your donation by 10, and at times Allah replaces your donation by contentment and freeing your heart of greed, which is greater than a monetary replacement. Subhanallah. مَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ, whatever you spend, فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ, Allah will replace it. And I have a flash of another ayah in the Quran, which is in the 20th juz, in the 29th chapter, the chapter on Ankabut, the spider. Allah says, يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُقْلَبُونَ. يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, Allah can punish whomsoever He wishes, وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and Allah shows mercy on whomsoever He wishes. Allama Nasafi rahimahullah in Madarikut Tanzil, under this ayah, he gives the different options and explorations of the punishment of Allah and the mercy of Allah. So one tafsir that he mentions, and I quote on the strength of Madarikut Tanzil, which I read, يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِالْحِرْسِ وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِالْقَنَاعَةِ, that Allah can punish whomsoever He wishes by inflicting greed in his heart. And Allah can pity whomsoever He wishes by endowing that individual with contentment. La ilaha illallah. So unfortunately, we only interpret, replacement or the bounty of Allah is material. Like I always tell people, the verse of the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, Allah says, if you are grateful, I will increase. Now we only take this to mean money. Be grateful, Allah gave you the ability to read Quran, Allah will increase you in your ability to read Quran. Be grateful that Allah gave you the ability to resist evil, Allah will strengthen your resistance against evil. While it is perfectly fine to use it in the context of monetary, but it's not limited, it's not restricted to that. Our connotations and deductions and understanding is like, okay, Allah gave me wealth, I must make shukr, so I'll get more. Great, awesome, wonderful. And here again, the scholars say, look at the beauty and the kindness of Allah. So when Allah speaks of gratitude, Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ, if you are grateful, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, absolutely sure, with certainty, I will increase. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ, and if you are ungrateful, Allah did not say, لَأُعَذِّبَنَّكُمْ. Allah didn't say, definitely, He said, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. He gives a warning. He gives an alert. So with gratitude, abundance is guaranteed. And with ungratefulness, you are predisposing yourself to the potential wrath of Allah. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the mercy of Allah that He didn't say, I will definitely punish you. He alerts you, He warns you, He cautions you. Inna azabi lashadid. Remember, my punishment is very severe and very intense. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah said, that if Allah has blessed you with a particular bounty, and then Allah by His will has snatched that bounty, and I think I've touched on this before, and I will say it again, that a believer needs to fear at every moment that Allah can take away what he has given me. This is the shi'ar, the symbol, the hallmark of a believer. This is the hallmark of a believer. In constant fear, my Lord can take at any time. So there is the verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Afa aminu makrallah? Afa aminu makrallah?" Do they feel that they are secured from the plot and the plan of Allah? "Fala ya'manu makrallahi illa al-qawmul khasirun." That is the nature of losers. Under this ayah in Bayanul Quran, it is written, and it gives me a shiver in my back. وَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ, and included in that person is a person whom Allah has blessed with the ability of goodness, who's been blessed and endowed with the ability of good. وَلَمْ يَخَفْ إِسْتِلَابَهَا, and he feels, no, Allah's given me the ability to read Quran, to be generous. It's fine. I can do it. I can continue doing it. And he doesn't fear that Allah can snatch that away. Now look at these words. فَإِيَّاكَ إِيَّاكَ أَن تَأْمَنَهُ فَفِي الْأَمْنِ الْخَوْفُ وَفِي الْخَوْفِ الْأَمْنُ فَإِيَّاكَ إِيَّاكَ أَن تَأْمَنَهُ. Beware, beware. You know, you have on these electric boxes, right? What they have, danger, khafar, ingozi. If I'm pronouncing it correctly in the other languages, like beware, alert, this is danger here. So the author writes of Bayan al-Quran, beware, alert, this is danger, this is hazardous. Iyaka, iyaka an ta'manuhu. How dare you think that you have a monopoly, you secured, you protected, you insulated. Fafil amni al-khawfu. The more you think what you have is protected, the more susceptible and vulnerable you are for Allah to snatch it. وَفِي الْخَوْفِ الْأَمْنُ. And the more you fear that Allah can strike, the safer you are. The more you think what I got is mine, the closer you are that Allah will snatch it. And the more you think, you know what, Allah can take it at any time, the safer you are. Furthermore, there is another quotation here of one of the great scholars. He used to have a note, and in that it was written, يُخْرِجُهَا كُلَّ وَقْتٍ فَيَنْظُرُ فِيهَا وَفِيهَا مَكْتُوبٌ وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. So he had a note and he would read it often, and in that it was written that persevere on the command of your Lord, persevere on the decree of your Lord. He would keep this ayah as a motivation, as an inspiration to him, that wasbir, persevere. And again, yet there is another quotation here regarding Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salatu wassalam, whom the Quran refers to as sabrun jameel, when he was told by his children about the tale which they fabricated, that the wolf had devoured their brother and their sibling. So he said, "For sabrun jameel, I will display beautiful sabr." And there's unanimity of the scholars of tafsir that what is meant by beautiful sabr, it is a sabr alladhi la jaza'a fihi, patience in which there is no moaning or groaning. And I just want to share with you one, two tales from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about people who displayed such sabr. So there is a famous incident that appears in the books of hadith regarding Ata ibn Abi Rabah rahimahullah. He says, once I was sitting with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma was, of course, the cousin of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the father of tafsir. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with this amazing thing. He used to say that, inni la'ati ala al-aya, that Allah has blessed me with three amazing qualities. Inni la'ati ala al-aya fa'awaddu law anna nasa jami'an alimu mithla alladhi a'lam. That at times I would be reflecting over a verse of the Quran, and then I would be immersed and engrossed in it, and then my heart would scream out, I wish the whole world could leave what they're doing and come understand the Quran as I've understood it. Right? And then the second thing is, وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ بِالْحَاكِمِ مِنْ حُكَّامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَقْضِي بِالْعَدْلِ فَأَفْرَحُ بِهِ وَمَا لِي عِنْدَهُ مِنْ قَضِيَّةٍ. That I would hear that there is a Muslim judge who has been appointed and is executing justice. And that would bring joy to me just to know that there's justice in the world and people will be given their due and people will not be abused and exploited. And I would be elated, ecstatic, overwhelmed. Yet I have no case that is pending there. I have no matter to submit in his court. وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ بِالْغَيْثِ يُسِيبُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَأَفْرَحُ بِهِ وَمَالِي بِتِلْكَ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ سَائِمَةٍ. And then I would hear that beneficial rain has come on a particular particular land, and you know what, it's brought about good growth and vegetation and produce, and it would bring joy to me, whereas I have no farming there or I have no animals grazing there. But just to know rain has come and benefited people. And I often say this here on a side note, if you have the capacity to experience happiness on the accomplishments of others, then every day will give you a new reason to be happy. And if you suffer the malady of being depressed on the joy of others, then every moment will bring you depression. Why? Because the world is such, right? Imam Ghazali rahimahullah said that a person will never be free of someone in his neighborhood or his friends. Mimman an'ama Allahu alayhi bi'ilmin aw jahin aw malin, whom Allah has favored with health, with wealth, with prosperity. So if you suffer in this malady, then constantly you will be in depression. Anyway, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, one of his great disciples was Ata ibn Abi Rabah rahimahullah. He was the great African scholar. Salma bin Kuhail rahimahullah said, مَا رَأَيْتُ بِالْعِلْمِ مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يُرِيدُ بِالْعِلْمِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ غَيْرَ هَؤُلَاءِ الثَّلَاثَةِ عَطَاءٌ وَطَاؤُسٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. He said, I never seen anyone whose motive of studying deen was exclusively the pleasure of Allah other than three people. مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يُرِيدُ بِالْعِلْمِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ غَيْرَ هَؤُلَاءِ الثَّلَاثَةِ عَطَاءٌ وَطَاؤُسٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. عَطَاءٌ, Ta'us and Mujahid. And Ata rahimahullah is one of the tutors of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. In fact, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَفْقَهْ مِنْ حَمَّادٍ وَلَا أَجْمَعْ لِلْعُلُومِ مِنْ عَطَى. From my teachers, I didn't see someone who was a greater master on jurisprudence than Hammad rahimahullah. And I didn't see anyone who could master and imbibe more sciences of deen than Ata ibn Abi Rabah rahimahullah, great scholar. Anyway, Ata ibn Abi Rabah rahimahullah says that I was sitting with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and he said, Ala urika imra'atan min ahli al-jannah. Can I not show you Miss Paradise? La ilaha illallah. Can I not show you Miss Paradise? So you have Miss Africa, you have Miss Asia, you have Miss Europe, you have Miss World. I'm paraphrasing, but literally, here I show you a woman of Jannah walking on this earth. So I said, please do tell me. So we've heard the hadith, but the point I want to say is when Allah endows someone with that inner sabr and patience, it's just something different, unique. He said, هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ السَّوْدَى. Remember, sometimes you gave and then Allah gave you inner contentment. Allah gave you inner contentment. I recall this incident. I was flying in Australia. I had taken a flight from Brisbane to Perth. It was Ramadan. I had done my suhoor in Brisbane and then prayed Fajr Salah, went to the airport, hopped onto a flight. And we know from one side to the other coast, from east to west Australia is a good 4 or 5 hour flight. And that's a domestic flight. And alhamdulillah, Allah makes it easy in Ramadan. Each time you get a bit concerned, worried, but then Ramadan sets in and Allah just gives you that amazing strength and you get by. And I found a person sitting close to me and he was abusing alcoholic beverages. So the cabin crew told him that, listen, sir, you've surpassed your limit. And you know what, you're becoming rowdy, you're becoming, a nuisance and you cannot take any more. And he says, no, I need more. And I'm thinking to myself, Ya Allah, you know, you have put the fast on us and you give us the strength. And here a man is drinking, and the more he's drinking, the more it's aggravating his thirst. The more he's drinking, the more he's aggravating his thirst. You have a person that is has all the wealth and he wants to make more and more and more. And then you have another person who's got basic and average, and Allah gives him inner contentment. يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِالْحِرْسِ وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِالْقَنَاعَةِ. Allah can inflict any punishment on a person in the form of greed, and Allah can pity anyone by blessing him or her with contentment and peace. May Allah grant us inner peace and contentment. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said to me, Ala urika imra'atan min ahli al-jannah. Can I show you Miss Paradise? I'm like, yeah, show me. He said, هذه المرأة السوداء. Here comes a woman with dark skin. Here comes a woman with dark skin. Atatin Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of African origin. She had once come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Inni usra. O Nabi of Allah, I have these epileptic attacks. And when this happens to me, then my private area becomes exposed. So pray to Allah to cure me. Pray to Allah. Simple. This is her condition. But her request, I say straightforward, simple. Her condition was obviously severe and intense, and we make dua that anyone who has this severe condition or any related condition, may Allah miraculously grant them shifa. May Allah miraculously grant them shifa. Subhanallah, what did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to her? In shi'ti sabarti walakil jannah wa in shi'ti da'utullaha in yu'afiq. Sister, I heard your request and I understand your pain. If you want, I will pray to Allah, He will cure you. And if you want, persevere and Allah will give you jannah. If you want, persevere and Allah will give you Jannah. Our mind would run in a different way. Okay, O Nabi of Allah, make dua for Jannah and Shifa. O Nabi of Allah, make dua for Jannah and Shifa. You know, this is how our mind runs. I often speak about that incident of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, where one day he was sitting outside, and this is mentioned in few books of hadith, I've read it. And a person came to ask for something. So he sent Hassan radiallahu anhu, his son Hassan, he said, go inside and ask your mom Fatima radiallahu anha for the dirhams that are there, 6 dirhams that are in the house. So Fatima radiallahu anha said, there's absolutely nothing. This is the only little bit we have for basic needs and food, etc. So he came back and he narrated this to Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu said, now go back and tell your mom to give that and to have trust and of course reliance in Allah. And understand the situation of Fatima radiallahu anha. There's nothing else. In our situation, it's like going in the house and in my cupboard, in my closet, you'll see there's some forex. Leave the dollars, not the pounds. There's some big Canadian, not the rupees. Behind that, you'll see there's a stash. Yeah, just bring something from there. Yeah. You know, so there's like so much there. Just pull that out and bring this and give it, right? So there's surplus, there's excess. That's our condition. Long story short, she gives it Fatima radiallahu anha, the only wealth she had, the only thing, gave it. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu says, my dad passed it on to the beggar and off he went. Few minutes thereafter, a person came and he was selling a camel. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, I will purchase it. You know what? Work from home, work smart, right? From your laptop. Subhanallah, deen was happening. I say, if you look into the deen, there's so many incidents. There's an authentic hadith in Bukhari where a person was owing money. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man akhadha amwal an-nas yuridu ada'aha addallahu anhu. If you borrowed money and you're passionate to pay it, Allah will help you pay it. But you need to be committed. I want to pay. I want to clear my debts. I need to drop my standards and I need to come out. Then Allah will help you. And a person came out in the hadith of Bukhari. And then he came out and he said, Ya Allah, I promised a man I was owing him money. And today is the day. And he's looking for a boat and a vessel to take him across the shore. The hadith of Bukhari, the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he couldn't find anyone, so he just found a piece of wood that was floating, and he dug into it, and then he put the money in, and he entrusted it, and he said, Allah, you allow this to float to that person, and let the money get. So today we talk of EFT, we talk of internet banking, we talk of quick transfers, we talk of so many other ways of getting money across continents. Water transfer, right? Water transfer. This is the hadith. He put the money and that person on the other end anticipating that today I will receive, waiting in the distance, is there any vessel or boat or any sign of someone coming? Because when a person has been promised his money, then obviously he's anticipating it. Thalathatun haqqun ala Allahi aunuhum. Allah has taken the responsibility of aiding three people. Number one, an-nakihu alladhi yuridu al-afaf, a bride or groom who gets married with the primary aim to protect their chastity. And then a person who strives in the path of Allah. Wal-mukatabu alladhi yuridu al-ada. Mukatib is an academic term. In essence, in a loose translation, a person who's owing money, if he wants to pay, Allah will aid him. And I know of people who had a passion, Allah made them pay back every cent, and Allah turned the things around that the people whom they owed money to, Allah reversed it. That person borrowed money now from a person who was his former debtor. Subhanallah. So Allah can turn anything at any time. This person waiting outside, the piece of wood floating by comes, he opens it, and he finds his money. Subsequently, the two meet up and he says, brother, I'm owing you money and I couldn't meet you on that day. He says, no, no, on that day, that piece of wood floating came to my shore and came to my house and I received the money and may Allah bless you. So anyway, coming back to the incident of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the person walks in, he says, are you selling this? He says, yes. How much are you selling it for? I'm selling it for 120 dirhams. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, I have bought it. And aqalahu, he ties it up, aqalahu. And that's why in Arabic also, aqal is known as aqal. The Arabs refer to that which they tie the scarf with as iqal. So aqal, the actual role of an aqal is to restrain you from wrong, right? And if it doesn't restrain you from wrong, it defeats the whole thing. You know the guy who went to the neurologist and he said that the human brain is divided into two, the right and the left. You don't have anything right in the left and nothing left in the right. He went to the neurologist and he said, like, it's divided in the right and the left. You got nothing left in the right and nothing right in the left. Long story short, a person passes by after that. He asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, are you selling this? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, yes. How much? He said, 180 dirhams. 180 dirhams. So he agreed and he paid the Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu immediately paid the man who he was owing the 120 to. And the 60 dirhams he gave to his son Hassan radiallahu anhu, and he said, go and give it back to your mom Fatima, that in the morning she gave 6 dirhams before the sun could set. Allah multiplied it 10 times for her and gave it back. Subhanallah. Now, in a real world, in an ideal world, when we try and analyze this, you're like, but this barakah doesn't happen to me. To start off, here's a quick thing, and that's what I want to say on this incident that I was mentioning. Which one of us has the strength to part with the only 6 dirhams we have? I'm afraid we cannot. And even if we muster the courage to part with that 6 dirhams, the only 6 dirhams that we have, then if somebody is selling us a commodity, an item, we buy it. And then somebody comes by and says, listen, are you selling it? Yeah. How much? 180. Done. Now when he agrees, you're like, oh, I should have told him 220, man. This guy was ready, man. You know what, brother? I'll come back. I need to have a word with my wife. Actually, we slept over the matter. And by the way, you know what? I think actually, barakah is gone. Greed has set in. Barakah is gone. And even so, now when the man pays me 180, do I pay the man who I'm own 120? No, I'm going for Umrah. I'm going for Umrah. So unfortunately, this is where we lack that sense of barakah. May Allah grant us understanding and goodness. So anyway, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, O Prophet of Allah, pray for me. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want, I will pray and Allah will cure you. And if you want, you make sabr and Allah will give you Jannah. Look at the words of this woman. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. We hear in medical terminologies where people are in denial, right? Denial. And that's the first phase when prognosis or diagnosis take place. Preliminary reports suggest that there could be a cancerous tumor. But at this stage, we don't know if it's malignant or benign. But we still, you know what, the reports are unclear. It's vague. So a person is still fighting it, resisting it, denying it. Here is a person making peace with the situation. Like, I'm happy. O Nabi of Allah, sabartu, then I will persevere. Then I'm happy. But pray to Allah that in my subsequent epileptic attacks, my private area mustn't be exposed. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam then prayed, inni atakashaf, fad'u Allah alla atakashaf. That, O Nabi of Allah, pray for me. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed for her. So the point and the focus we're speaking on today is that those whom Allah has endowed with sabr, it is just absolutely different. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah used to say that as-sabru i'tirafu al-'abdi lillahi bima asaba minhu wa ihtisabuhu 'inda Allah. What is sabr? Where a servant acknowledges that Allah has tested him and he perseveres on the reward that Allah has promised for him. And yet, Yunus ibn Zayd rahimahullah used to say, when somebody asked him, what's the ultimate of sabr? What's the ultimate point? What's the pinnacle of sabr? He said, أَيَّكُونَ يَوْمَ تُصِيبُهُ الْمُصِيبَةِ, that a person can become, after the affliction of a trial from the Almighty, similar to what he was prior to the affliction. So, you know, and we live in a world where it's quite challenging, and this is one of the challenges of mass media, right? I remember I was in Ireland and we were having suhoor, and then I was flying to London the next day, and this particular brother's daughter was doing some theory and theses and research on this year, the impact of social media on the body. And she had written this whole thing here, which got me thinking that gradually in the early days, and just to wrap up, you know, news would filter in after a period of time. And each type of news has a certain impact on the wiring of the body, on the anatomy, on the makeup, on the disposition. So you have good news, then obviously there's this endorphins, there's this excitement, there's this happiness, and then there is negative news or sad news, and then that creates somber, depression, etc. But now the body is going through erratic fluctuation in a minute. Like you sit in and wow, and next minute, oh, inna lillah. And this is creating erratic waves in the body where the body is not settling into good news, digest, understand, rejoice, experience, or then and contain, breakdown, emotional. And this is creating a whole new set of challenges for the medical world. So yesterday when you were not afflicted, that joy, that euphoria, that excitement, that bubbly nature, and tomorrow when you're afflicted, to continue in that same stride, that would be the ultimate in terms of sabr. And yet again, Qais ibn Hajjaj rahimahullah said that what is sabran jameela, beautiful sabr? أن يكون صاحب المصيبة في القوم لا يعرف من هو. لا إله إلا الله. That the afflicted individual cannot be distinguished from the non-afflicted. So you walk into a gathering, right? I mean, we learn about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where a companion came in and he said, "Man minkum Muhammad, la ilaha illallah." So who amongst you is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the reason for this is, of course, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this luminous light and this luminous appearance, but he himself did not distinguish himself in any way. When Abu Bakr and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, right, and the people stood up on the rooftops, and they were anticipating the Nabi of Allah and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu coming in. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realized that they are now confused. Who is the Nabi of Allah? Subhanallah. Immediately he understood, and look at the dhakawa and the fatina and the maturity of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Sometimes you have the disciples that are moving with the sheikh, and people are confused who it is, and the person is enjoying the glory and the moment, like assalamu alaikum, sheikh, wa alaikum assalam. Subsequently you discover he's the driver, right? And the man enjoys the glory for the moment, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realizes it, and then he puts a shawl and a shade over the Prophet of Allah, and people realize that the person who was given the shade and the shelter was the Nabi of Allah. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody walks in, man minkum Muhammad, who's Muhammad? And we said, hadha rajulul abyadul muttaki, this fair looking brilliant individual with this luminous light who's reclining, he is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst us. So Qais ibn Hajjaj says that the height and the pinnacle and the essence of sabr will be that you walk into a group and the afflicted individual cannot be distinguished from others. Somebody would have to ask, so who lost his brother, or who lost his job, or who is going? That would be the height. And wallah, there are people who has been blessed with that condition. We ask the Almighty to grant us yaqeen and conviction in him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us afiyah. We ask for afiyah, that's the beauty. We ask, ma an'ama Allahu ala 'abdin bi ni'matin أوفى من العافية وكل من عوفي في جسده فهو في عيشة راضية. Allah has not favored any person with a greater bounty than sound health. And any person and every person whom Allah has blessed with good health, he is living a blissful life. May Allah bless us with perpetual afiyah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.